Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Hello and welcome to episode 128 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my friend, my compatriot, my buddy, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. Hi, Adam. What you doing, man?
I'm muting you before you can mess me up again, and I blocked the video that I see of you on camera, so I didn't have to like see you show me parts of your office.
You are no fun. Literally like no fun.
Oh, jeez. Just wait for the blooper reel. That's all. Wait for the blooper reel.
Have a little fun with this show thing that we're doing. Come on, why can't we just be a little lighthearted sometimes?
Sometimes. All right.
I think our listeners are tolerant of a little bit of rough edges now, a chuckle here and there.
All right. Moving forward, I will be more fun.
Okay, good.
Starting now.
Great. Starting now.
Chuckle, 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 chuckle. Speaking of fun, I saw some video over on Snapchat of you or your daughter playing with worms.
Oh, it's really cute. It's really cute.
Oh my gosh, adorable.
There was a time when she was afraid of them. That is no longer.
Yeah.
She used to be like, oh no, I'm run away, a snake. But now, I don't know exactly what the transition was, but she's so into finding worms. That's her favorite activity every day. So we go out there and she's flipping all the rocks in our yard and looking for them. And it's really adorable.
What's funny is I see her, she's playing with them. She like stretches them out. She wraps them around her finger and then she feeds them to the chickens.
Yeah, she does. And she calls them, she rates them based on their size. There's baby worms and mommy worms and daddy worms. And now the daddy worms are the big ones. They're the elusive gargantuan worms. They're huge. And those are super hard to find. And when she finds one, she has to tell everybody.
That's funny.
It's adorable.
And then, yeah, it's just so funny because my kids, I don't know, my kids probably did that at the same time at that age. Now, they're like, no, gross, you know, whatever. I mean, they see a little spider in the house and they all freak out. Dad, come kill it. I'm like, you guys, it's literally like, you know, it's what, 1/100th of your body size, and it's a spider or it's a bug or it's a cockroach, whatever it is. It's like, it's a bug, just kill it and move on. Don't overthink it.
I know. And they're teenagers. My 2-year-old is the one squashing the bugs in our house. Yeah.
So she's literally playing with food. Someone's food.
Someone's. Yeah. Yeah. Even in our house, when she finds a bug, she's the one who grabs a paper towel and is very excited to go and squash it.
So she's not a pacifist.
Throw it away.
she's a hunter killer.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I like it.
A lot of courage. I love it too. Yeah. Yeah. She's a brave little girl. Too brave for her own good sometimes. We got to watch out. Yeah.
Happen, yeah.
Woo. Yeah. Yikes. You need a little more fear, girl.
I mean, she got that first tattoo at what, 20 months?
We talked about it for a long time, honestly.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
for 18
months.
I mean,
there are critics out there, naysayers, but, you know.
Critics, man, they just don't understand.
We're letting her live her life.
Yeah. That's awesome.
What are you up to?
I have a vacation coming up in 2 weeks.
Unbelievable.
From about, yeah, a week and a half from when this episode comes out, I think. Yeah, I'm going away to the lake again with the guys. The guys. The boys. Yeah. That's what my boys call it.
Boys.
They tease me. But yeah, I'm going to go to the lake. Just about 6 of us. It's half of the people this time just for the social distancing. We all get our own room. I'm looking forward to that. Kind of get on the water and just, you know, just chill. Still eating healthy. Have a new podcast coming up. I mentioned it 2 weeks ago. Meant to mention it last week, but we got sidetracked there with Joe Howard. Thanks again for being on the show, Joe. Yeah. But yeah, the new podcast is ready for people to submit. It's called 1 Minute Motivation. It's over at onemin.motivation.com. I'll put a link in the show notes. And it's just to help motivate the world by you. So people can submit up to 1 minute of what motivates them to do what they do, you know, in a, you know, giving back kind of way. I may throw in a longer episode here and there, like interview somebody that I think might have a longer story to tell from time to time. And I've had that domain, just so you know, for a solid 6 years.
6 years?
Yeah, that was one of the longer ones I had that I didn't do anything with. And I like my new policy from like a year or two ago was, you know, 2 years, if I use it or lose it, let it go. So this is the one I just kept going. Like, it was the oldest one I probably had that was dormant, and I had to do something with it this year. So I built the site and it's ready for people to submit, and it's pretty cool. I'm trying to launch this month. You know, I have 5 or 6 people submitted so far. I'm looking to get like, I want to do one a day, ideally. But it's going to take some traction. It might be 1 or 2 a week to start, because like maybe Tuesday, Thursday until I can get a few more kind of scheduled in there. So,
Okay. Who's the audience for this?
It's anybody, really. The audience in my mind is people who just want 1 minute of inspirational motivation about what people are doing out there to make the world a better place.
Maybe I'll see if I can chip in some content.
I think it'd be fantastic. I think you can, because I know what you're passionate about. I really do.
Do you?
I do. Family.
Yeah. And fans of Get Options.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And then lastly, I was going to mention that we got word that my boys are going back to high school. They're still in high school. They have another month. This is great. My sons. They're a freshman and a junior, respectively, and they have a month to go of this distance learning thing. And then they go back in August, but they found out that our district is going back a week early. And my boys are pissed. They're like, what, a week early? What about my summer? Like, dudes, you've been off, in a sense, like working at school from home for, what, 2.5-3 months?
Those poor boys. I know. Poor boys.
So they're like, oh, but we get a short summer. I'm like, yeah, well, get over it. You'll be fine.
Yeah. So anyway. They will be. Anyway. Not getting a lot of sympathy from dad.
Not so much. Suck it up, buttercup. That's me being fun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right on.
Right.
That's all I got, you know.
Yeah, me too.
This is Point at Which We Do. Talk about everything that's new.
So we got one thing here in the news. Envira Gallery was acquired by the juggernaut of WordPress and photography companies called Imagely. And they are also the owner of Next Gen Gallery.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, they're really into galleries and images and stuff. Yeah. I guess that's their lane.
You know, it's funny. I used to use Next Gen. I don't know if I still do anywhere. I don't think I do. But Next Gen was early. I was an early adopter to that plugin for galleries. It worked really well for a long time, and then it got really bad. It slowed things down. It just got bloated, you know, in the code base. And I stopped using it, couldn't recommend it. And then it was acquired. I think it went through like 2 or 3 different places, and then it became good again. And I think it's good again now if you need that type of functionality. Interesting that Envira Gallery is now part of that umbrella parent company, you know.
Oh, yeah, it is. I think Envira was always a pretty decent one.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I've used them all, projects, but it was like so long ago.
Yeah, I mean, Next Gen has been around for a long time as far as
it has been.
Around, it's solid. I mean, they were honestly around when I came in, like at least 10 years. It's got to be.
Yeah.
They were early.
Totally.
Yeah. It's pretty impressive. So cool. Congratulations to that acquisition and whatnot, et cetera. So there's a link in the show notes if you want to read about it and their president and what their plans are. So pretty cool stuff.
Cool stuff.
Cool stuff. So anyway.
Cool stuff.
So we have no changes to share, but we do have some news on who's hiring. I just thought we might add this from time to time. If you have, by the way, a job opening, let us know. We can share. You know, we're not going to be biased in any capacity. So the two things I saw this past week were Thrive. Thrive Agency is looking for support techs. Do you want to mention what they said in their notes there?
Oh, I don't know if I can explain that very well.
Just read it, we can look at it for a second.
On their job posting, they said, it just made me laugh because this is just my sense of humor, but they said that, like, we have we offer remote working, so you don't have to live in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas.
Which is funny the way they say that. It's like it kind of leads, more questions are pondered upon that.
I can see why they wrote this, because I believe they have a headquarters in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. But I just found it amusing to imagine that they, what if they don't?
They're based in Arlington, Texas, I think. That's where their actual location is.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. But, you know, it is a funny thing to say without the context, because I didn't see that. And just reading it thinking, wow, like the the value that they have is like, we are going to make sure that no one, no employee of ours has to live in Dallas.
Right.
You can live anywhere in the world and we don't have a headquarters. And this is our mission to make sure that no worker is forced to live there.
Right. I'm trying to remember who shared it originally. I think it was Jennifer. Michelle Butcher Jones. I think that's how you say her name. I'm trying to find like they're about. It was shared in the Slack group that I saw.
Yeah. That's the backstory, man. It's kind of.
Yeah, Michelle Jones. That's who it was. Yeah, she did share it. I did double check. So.
Hey, Michelle.
And the other who's hiring automatic. They're always hiring, of course. But a friend of mine, Jessica Bachter, who's a happiness engineer, she put on Facebook that they're looking for contractors for WordPress.com. For happiness, because they're so inundated right now with support tickets because everyone's at home and just like the ticket queue has gotten so out of control. So they're doing it through Upwork, but there's a special link for that. So if you're, you know, if you know someone at Automatic that's in happiness and you're looking for that, ask them for that link to go to Upwork as a contractor, et cetera, et cetera. That's just a different, it's a short-term type of contract if you're looking for part-time work right now. So
that makes me want to say an impromptu little PSA.
Yes.
For those of you out there right now in the world of support, I thank you. Your job is hard right now.
Oh my gosh, totally.
And your job is really tough.
Yeah.
And you're being inundated and I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Kyle does, at least.
I'm going to add to that PSA. I was just thinking about this morning that we get some deliveries from time to time during the week, you know, UPS, FedEx, mail, just because people send packages. We've been ordering a few things a little bit more than normal. I kind of want to somehow thank those delivery people.
Yeah.
Versus saying just thanks when they ring the bell and run away. I kind of want to give them, I don't know. I got to figure out how can we say thank you in a much more, I don't know. I don't want to pay them. I mean, can I give them something back? I don't know. Would they take it?
I mean, what is a greater gift than mentioning them and get options?
Okay. Good enough. Thank you, UPS, FedEx, and Amazon delivery people.
There you go.
Done.
You've done your part.
I feel good now.
I do want to everybody else who is not in support, so those of you listening to this program who could potentially be opening support tickets in your future, I want you to keep this in mind. That right now, people in support almost across the board, and reading a lot of articles about this, the people who are like adding up the data, and I'm talking to other people in the industry, and I'm looking at what our support team is going through to as the basis for this message. But, you know, if you're one of those people who's maybe going to open a ticket soon, I urge you to be considerate right now. Ask yourself first, do I really need to open this ticket? Do I really need to answer this question right now? Is there any way that I could answer it myself or wait a little bit? Because these ticket queues that all of these software companies, all these WordPress companies are looking at are dramatically more full than any teams are used to, and people are scrambling, and there are people in support who thought that they were going to be able to take some time off and they can't, and there's a lot of other customers waiting a lot longer than they should.
And when
you do have to open the ticket, that's fine. Try and be as concise as you can and polite as you can and considerate of the fact that a lot of other questions are going in. So, that's my message to you right now, dear listener.
Nice. Well said. Well said. All right. What you wearing, what you bring, what you drinking now? What you wearing, what you bring, what you bringing now? All right, I'm going to go first because I can. I'm wearing the Get Options workout shirt that you got me.
Love it.
Yeah.
What a stud.
You know, I just felt like, because we're going to talk about something about that a little bit later, too. I thought it might be apropos in this segment today.
Yeah.
Drinking a cup of coffee, and I'm reading The Big Leap. I should be done with this book this weekend. Maybe by next week, actually. I'm just taking my time. I'm not rushing through it. So.
You're looking so good. The quarantine look has just been good for you.
For those who can't see, I'm in dire need of a shave. Oh, and I'm also wearing a Beaver Builder hat.
Oh, yeah.
Almost forgot about that. Yeah.
I'm wearing a Sandhills Brewing t-shirt, a WP Engine hat. I'm drinking some orange juice, and I'm reading a book called Traction by Gina Wickman.
Yeah, I heard it's a great book. I really do want to get that's on my list. Definitely on my list. So,
yeah, it's pretty good.
Hey, Kyle, guess what time it is?
It's time to get up off of your seat. Adam, you could do better. No giving options that reek. Our listeners deserve better.
Wow. That's right. Guess what? It's questions time. That's right. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. 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 Are you ready? Because we have 2 seconds left. 3, 2, 1, and here we go. Question one.
Do you think I'm ready? Do you think I'm ready?
Yes. Yeah. Do you want to ask the first one? Or do you want me to ask the first one?
I'll ask it. Okay. I'm ready. Okay. Like I said, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. Stop asking.
Okay.
First question comes from Jennifer R. A few months ago, I was hired to help a company with their social media. At first, things went well. They paid my bills, sent more work. But recently, they have ghosted me. They don't owe me a little money, but the lack of communication suddenly is awkward, to say the least. Once again, that comes from Jennifer R. Yeah. Thank you, Jennifer.
I think it's actually they don't owe me any money. I think the little was my typo. But anyway, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Great question. Interesting. I've actually, so I have three options here. And I have some experience in this too. But option one, it's you. Accept it. Move on and learn Joomla.
You know, what am I was kind of thinking along those lines. That was one of my options. The only explanation can't be that you messed up big time.
Right. And they don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, you should probably just send them a heartfelt apology for your unforgivable blunder. And while you're at it, just refund all their money. It's the obvious right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Clients don't just ghost their contractors. They must have had their feelings deeply hurt for them to treat you this way.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's right on par. I think we're
on the same page.
Right, today, yeah, finally. 128 episodes later.
Option, you know what? You're right this time, for once.
Option two that I have is this. I would ghost them back. Seriously. I would send them pictures of ghosts in the mail with white sheets. Maybe have the box set up with a recording and playing spooky sounds as they open it.
Woo.
Yeah. Kind of like that glitter bomb thing.
What's that?
You haven't seen the glitter bomb where the guy puts a package on his people's doorsteps or mails it? Yeah, you got to watch. I'll send you a thing on YouTube. It's a YouTube thing. I'll send it. It's awesome. This guy's like a NASA engineer. He leaves his job at NASA to build this glitter bomb explosion package from people who do porch pirates, right? That kind of thing. So. Yeah, ghost them back. Just send them a package and with pictures of ghosts. So,
yeah, I think you might be onto something. That this attitude is, because it's interesting to me the way Jennifer says it. Like she actually is hoping for some response from her clients. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought that not hearing from your clients was cause for jubilant celebration.
Right. No news is good news.
Right. Oh, I'm so sad to not hear from my clients.
Right.
That's not me. Right. Not me.
And my third option, and I can always go into the fact that my experience here, but my third option is to send them a letter in the mail, really. Just check in, even though there are so many ways, and you know this because we had this conversation not too long ago, to make contact these days, you know, with Skype, Twitter, Slack, and there's so many different ways to make contact. You just never know. Yeah. You never yammer. You never know what's going on in their life, in their world at that moment, right? And perhaps something tragic happened. God forbid. It's terrible to say, but you never know. And it's too easy for us as contractors or as agency owners or whatever it may be to fill in the blanks and to assume we know what's going on or don't know. It just, human nature is to like just automatically fill in that blank, right? And to think the worst. So my advice is try not to. I can't tell you just don't think bad, but you just try not to think the worst. Send them a letter. And if you don't hear back, then you definitely need to then really just move on. You know, and just, unfortunately. Easier said than done, I know. Maybe they'll come back around. Maybe they'll give you an explanation down the line, but it's hard to say. And I have experience with this, but I think you have another option as well.
I just want everyone to keep in mind this true reality.
Okay.
Clients don't care about you.
Wow.
They don't, and they never will. Responding to you is always going to be a low priority. Contractors to them are not worthy of their respect.
Well, what if they're a friend? What if they were hired in as a friend as into the contract role? Still don't think it's a thing?
They don't care about you.
But common courtesy? Nothing?
Nope.
Okay, wow. All right.
Just keep that in mind at all times.
Right. I mean, so my experience is this. I did a contract years ago, right after, right before, when I left my day job to launch Concierge full time. I had some side hustle working for another company inside of the WordPress ecosystem. I don't want to call them out per se. They paid me. They paid well. I was doing all their social media too. It's kind of ironic. I'm like, this could be my story. And then I wasn't getting paid, and I wasn't hearing anything from the person who was kind of managing me on that level. And we're all friends. Mm. And then I finally got the phone call, and I knew it was coming. It just was kind of sucky that it happened because I just quit my full-time job. You know, I was relying on that income, all that kind of thing, right? So the truth is they ran out of funds and money to continue paying me the rate that they were paying me.
Mm, that's what turned out. Gotcha.
At the end of the day, we're all still friends. I went in knowing that this could happen. I took the gamble and the risk, you know, and here we are 4 years later, I'm still, you know, friends with that team. I still use their product. And, you know, Pippin and I, we reconciled. I mean, no.
Jeez.
Whoa. It wasn't Pippin. It was a twin brother. I'm kidding.
Okay. Yeah, well, maybe they were embarrassed.
Yeah. Could be. No.
Jennifer, I have some things to just double check on. Like, are your inquiries action-oriented? The kinds of things that maybe necessitate a response of some kind? I know that if I have an email where someone is really just checking in, it doesn't always sound like a top priority, and there's a lot of things going on, and I might not get to that one very hastily, especially, you know, when we're in a client contractor situation where, as I said, clients just don't have a lot of respect for you. If someone has a question that they really need answered, on the other hand, and that's clear and direct, totally different. You know, or if they have a pitch for something that addresses a need of mine, I'm inclined to pay immediate attention. So double check, Jennifer, what your messages to them are. Are they just kind of casual check-ins, or is there some action that the client can take or may feel like they need to take? And see what you can do about that. And then my other thought is that knowing when to give up on a client can be pretty hard at times. It's very true that retaining an existing client is often orders of magnitude easier than getting brand new clients. But there is a point where working to retain an uncooperative or a mismatched client becomes too much. Mm-hmm. If your client has ghosted you, if you're at that point where you're using that language, you feel that that's the case, maybe it's time to set a reminder for like future 5-minute follow-ups, but otherwise just shift your focus to new business or to your other more engaged clients. That's really, it's part of the business.
Right. I agree. It's solid advice. It's just, it's hard sometimes because you're like, you start second guessing yourself, I think a little bit too. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Good question though. Good question.
Yeah, thanks, Jennifer.
Thanks, Jennifer. All right, question number two. What are some options to encourage a coworker, actually a few of them, they're right, a few of them actually, to get to the point? I don't think I'm impatient, but come on, people, stop the over-explanation of things. This is sent in by Carl Henkel? Henkel, yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Carl, for the fun, amusing question.
I have, again, three options here. You go first, though.
Maybe there's a small chance that Carl is the impatient one. It is possible. You said a few of your coworkers.
He says he's not impatient, but he wants people to stop over-explaining.
I know, but Carl says, I don't think I'm impatient. Oh, but if it's a few of your coworkers are making you feel this way, there's a chance it's not them.
True.
It's you.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a chance.
So I think to speed things along, only have meetings with those people in person while eating sardines or reheating second day old salmon steak dinner. That's an option. That way they don't want to be around you. Trust me, they'll just be to the point, succinct, and out.
That's pretty smart. I could take that seed of inspiration and act on that. Put them in situation like we're only going to meet in an elevator, you know.
Right.
I've heard something like some anecdote before about some sort of big company boss who would do that kind of thing. Like, if you can't sell me on this idea before we get out of this elevator, it's you need to work on it more.
Right.
that kind of a lesson. And
smart.
Yeah.
My second option is start meetings with the information that you share with them that you are wickedly more important than they are, and that you don't want to miss your nap time.
Right.
I mean, hey, Kyle, thanks for joining me for the meeting. Before you start, I'm more important and I need to take a nap in 10 minutes. Go.
Right.
You
know, right.
Something like that. Yeah. That could work. It's an option.
I'm trying to get to the next level in Candy Crush. Exactly. You better get to the point, buddy.
Right. So
a coworker recently kind of taught me a lesson. I reached out to a coworker in Slack via DM for a request of mine. And I kind of articulated the situation as best I could, but it was a little vague and open-ended. I said, you know, okay, so here's my situation, kind of what I think that we need. I'm interested in your opinion, your feedback, blah, blah, blah. And he said, what do you want me to do? Or something to that effect. It was very to the point. And I was like, okay, I think we need to do something kind of like this or that. I think, you know, I'm not sure, like, maybe do you have an opinion on this? And I was really kind of vague and said a lot of words. And then he just repeated the same question. He said, what do you want me to do? And I had to think about it for a minute. And he made me recognize that I was not even ready. Like, I hadn't thought it through enough before I pinged him, before I interrupted his work. And he was respectful about it, but was pointing out in this way that my instructions were not clear enough. Like, I was maybe being premature. And so I responded again with a much more concise answer to his question. Mm-hmm. Significant, like in a sentence or two, instead of a couple paragraphs. And then he was able to say, thank you. Now I know what I want to do.
Like, yeah, yeah. So I have a third option that kind of lines up with that, and a bit of an experienced story of where I was the culprit here, or the perpetrator, or no, whatever, you'll see. So assuming this happens in meetings, let's say you're having a formal meetings, I think it's wise to have an agenda for that meeting, specifically. These are things we're going to talk about. And then stick to it. Be diligent on keeping tangents from happening. And it goes back to that old line, back to the corporate world, like, if it goes off of a tangent, because people are just, you know, taking off, you say, let's take this offline. It's the word. Mm-hmm. I used to hate hearing that in meetings, but it's true. Just like, this is not part of this meeting. We have to get these agenda items taken care of and move on. I will share the story. True case. I was this person way back mm-hmm. when I was dating Ellen. Actually, we lived in San Francisco. I worked at UCSF, University of California, San Francisco, in the ITS store. It was like the computer store for the university, but not your. It was more of a department, but we had a storefront and you could buy computer stuff, whatever. And I would go downstairs, like we had the storefront, but downstairs was the bench, the tech, the shop where they would do repairs and stuff. And I would go downstairs and talk to Tim specifically and tell Tim and what's his name? Matt, who I'm still friends with. I would give them all the information about the client. Let's say, like, hey, Kyle, so the guy's upstairs, Professor Kyle is upstairs. He has this issue with his Mac 660 AV, it's just whatever, old technology. I give him all your story and your history about what you're trying to do and the data and the corruption. And Tim didn't care. Not that he didn't care in a negative way. He didn't need to know your backstory.
Right.
He just needed to know what hardware, what's the issue, can we reproduce it? Then he can just talk from there. And he just told me one day, he's like, hey, Adam, he pulled me aside. He was probably maybe 10 years older than me, if that. I mean, I was young. I was in my late 20s. Not that young, but late 20s, but just maybe mid-20s. That was my mid-20s. And yeah, he was probably early 30s. He's like, I got to tell you, we love your enthusiasm. We love you, the fact that you like to just go into this detail, but it doesn't help us down here at all. And it kills time. You know,
<Yeah. laughs>
he was blunt and it kind of hurt, but I got the message. And from that point on, we had a great relationship because I was like, hey, boom, boom, boom. He's like, fantastic. We'll take care of that. Put it in the queue. We'll have it back to him by Thursday. You know, that kind of thing.
Great. Yeah.
So the key, I think the key in this one, Carl, is to just pull the person aside and tell them how you want to receive information.
I think that's true.
That's what
and I don't know. We don't know much about more about Carl's situation and or Carl's role.
Right.
Like, Carl, are you like the president of this company, or are you, yeah. are you, you know, just
yeah? Is like, it just, are they peers? It's hard to say.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know. I do think that if there's an ideal amount of explanation, but if we recognize that we live in a reality where that ideal is going to commonly be unattainable or slightly missed, there's two sides. It could be missed. You could have something that is over-explained or under-explained. Generally, I believe that under-explaining is worse. It has the potential to cause more harm than over-explaining.
Mm-hmm.
If you under-explain, like, very bad decisions can get made. People can get the wrong impression, leading them to doubt your conclusion or read into your response incorrectly, or just like ultimately make the wrong choice because it was under-explained. Whereas over-explaining, well, the problem there is it just takes a little more time and might bore you. I don't think the consequences are quite so severe. And so I guess keep that in mind when you do talk with your coworkers, that you don't want to be so stern or so serious about this request that they take it too far.
Right.
And begin under-explaining because, as I said, I think that has greater consequences.
Right. Yeah, the vagueness is going to kill you. It's potentially right.
Right.
Yeah, smart. Good questions this week. Really good questions. I like these questions a lot. And ironically enough, I happen to have relevance experience in both, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, huh. And they came to me as we were talking, like, oh, yeah, this is true. This yeah. happened and this happened. Yeah, so anyway.
Right. Yeah.
All right, moving on to the segment of the week. This is a new segment that you just came up with yesterday.
What?
Isn't it?
No.
Oh, no, it's not. I'm
just kidding. We just haven't done it in a really long
time. Well, it's not in the,
I was trying to think of what segment to do, and I was like, man.
Yeah.
We've just done them all so many times.
Right. So this one is Get Meta, and it's where we chat about something a little bit deeper. In this case, we want to actually chat about getting more questions.
Well, the reason we call it Get Meta
right.
is because we're on the show talking about the show.
Right, right, right.
And this is like our transparency hour.
Yeah, that's right.
We won't talk for an hour.
Right. No, we'll talk for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Starting now. So
there's a lot that goes into this show. I don't remember what we've talked about in this segment in the past. It's been a really long time since we did it.
It has. And as you mentioned that, I remember the last time we talked about was like expectations and the fact that one of us eventually leaving or not leaving, or, you know, commitments to it just because of time in life. Right. And I told you,
like how long will we do this show? Or right. What would it take for one of us to decide we don't want to anymore?
And the answer still is 10 more minutes. That's how much longer this show. This show.
I think we might've done one before where we were like, do we want sponsors of this show? Or like, how would we get them and stuff like that? Today, as you mentioned, our topic is, how can we get, what can we do? What can we creatively do to get more questions and more good questions in our queue? Now, there's a lot of question and answer shows out there, and all of them have this constant need for more questions. And I talked to a bunch of other friends who have advice shows, and yeah, it's a chore to try and get consistent good questions, especially if you're like us. We record every single week and we try and answer at least two new authentic listener questions every single week. And so we burn through our queue pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And all too often we're looking at the list of available questions that we have, and we're like, we're kind of running low on some really good stuff.
We have we have plenty of bad questions.
Yeah, and some that are like, oh, we've kind of addressed this, or, oh, this isn't really valuable to our listeners or whatever. So we want to have a bigger supply of questions to pull from, especially like where this is applicable to me is when we have on a guest. When we invite a guest on the show, they bring like a different set of expertise, and I want to reach into our queue and try and find the right questions, like applicable questions for this person. You know, sometimes we'll have questions about like scaling up a certain type of business or marketing a certain type of business or dealing with a specific type of client situation or managing a large team of employees. Well, I don't want to ask that question if we're talking to someone who doesn't have employees. They're our guests. I want to save that question for the guest that has a bunch of employees, for example. Right. You know.
So we spoke last night. We were texting back and forth, or yesterday. And I think one of the ideas we came up with, just as ideas to get more questions from people, from listeners, and from if people want to share this on our behalf, that'd be great. I think we should. And we've mentioned it before. We could incentivize people. We could give you a shout out, maybe, obviously, which you always get if you submit one. We could definitely get people, we thought about doing the shirts and swag, stickers, hats, mugs. And you're like, yeah, actually, this is what I think was one of your better ideas, honestly, was to do for every 10 questions to submit, you get $1 worth of Kyle Bucks.
Right.
And then you can cash the Kyle Bucks in for product. I thought that was a really good option. Kyle Bucks. That was great.
I mean, we could do something like that. Like, I'm totally not opposed to incentivizing this because I think, people, they got the show plugged into their headphones and they listen to us while they do stuff. And maybe they're like, oh yeah, I'll try and think of a question, but you don't get around to it. Or some people do. Like, we should also express our sincere gratitude to the loyal listeners who have sent us so many questions over the years. A bunch of people have very consistently been generous with asking questions, and that's the lifeblood of this show. So we want to try and inspire everyone to ask a lot more. Mm-hmm. And help us make this show consistently better. So incentivizing that in some way, as you said, is like a fun potential creative solution. We could do the swag. That's one idea. We could say, if you send us 10 questions or 20 questions or something like that, send your shipping address too, because we're going to send you a Get Options t-shirt or whatever.
Right.
It's something like that. Or we could do
Starbucks gift card.
We could do that too. We could do a mini pitch for your business. We'll do a little mini commercial. You send us 10 questions, we'll do a little commercial. Like, this show is supported by such and such business or such and such plugin or consultancy. Hit them up at their website.
Right.
And just like that, we'll do a little pitch for you on the show. Or you send us a bunch of questions, I'll write a song about your business. And you can have a little jingle that's not a great jingle, but it's a jingle about your song.
We could do a good jingle. I mean, I have a voiceover artist in the house,
Oh, yeah. You could. I mean, you can go to our SoundCloud and you'll hear all the songs that I've done and the commercials that Adam's done in the past, the rap battles that we've done and right. whatnot.
So that's definitely a way to do it. Yes. And at the same time, so it's kind of like a hybrid sponsorship, incentivizing, pseudo thing with questions. If you have I just want to be clear though, if you have a specific business, that's more of a sponsorship, that we can talk about. That's a different thing,
Right.
But
if everybody wants t-shirts, we might need to get a sponsor because those do cost money.
Oh yeah, for sure. Right. So if you want to sponsor the t-shirts, we can, maybe talk about, a partnership. Let us know about that. Sandhills Development. Right. That'd be great. The Adam Silver Companies, the ASC, right? I should go register. that.
Adam Silver Services, maybe?
Oh, wow. I see what you did there.
A question that I have a few questions. I wonder if we did something like that, if we did say, hey, meet this threshold of questions. If you email us with a list of this many questions, which are legitimate questions that we might actually use in the show, we will do whatever. Is it the right thing to do for us to retroactively apply that benefit to the people who have supported us through over the years?
No. Do you retroactively give people discounts on products from last year, from Black Friday last year, that they buy today?
I mean, come on. If the pitch is that we'll send somebody a shirt, there's some people who have sent us many questions.
Yes. I mean, I guess we can go back. We haven't had... It's not like we're going to have to be out thousands of dollars. Maybe, I think we could look at it from case by case basis.
Okay. Okay.
And lean towards, sure, if somebody wants a shirt, somebody wants a mug or a hat, we can make that work. I'm not overly worried. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Sometimes I wonder if the lack of questions that we get, we do get enough to keep the show going, but sometimes it takes extra work, like going out of our way to say, like, hey, we really need questions. Anybody have a question? Hey, I need more questions. Come on. And that's a bit of work, but sometimes, like, the lack of questions, is that a sign that people don't want our advice?
No, I think it's more of along the lines of we are a niche type of thing. Obviously, we're in the WordPress ecosystem. We need to kind of branch out of that as well. It's hard, but we need to expand the overall audience. So here's what my request would be, because we're coming up to the 10-minute mark on this segment, just FYI. My request would be this. If you've sent in a question, thank you, not first and foremost. Secondarily, send in another one. If you can send in one, send in three. If you can send in three, tell two other people to send in three.
Okay.
See? It's kind of like, I want the opposite of social distancing when it comes to sending in questions. I want this to be contagious.
Yeah.
For the win.
Okay, great.
So again, if you're going to send in one, send in three. If you're going to send in three, ask three people to send in three. And then rinse and repeat.
Like, sure.
Like shampoo.
We are curious about which incentives would be the most motivating to you. Absolutely. So would you rather us like pitch your business and do a legitimate commercial? Would you rather me write like a catchy jingle? Would you rather get something with our show brand on it?
Hey, I submitted a question. The shirt would be this. Like, I submitted a question to the Get Options podcast and all I got was this crappy t-shirt.
Right. Whatever. Yeah, we'll come up with something goofy. Or would you rather like earn a guest spot on the show?
Ooh.
Whoa, risky. That's like the ultimate grand prize.
Right. Right. Indeed. Indeed it is. Well,
yeah. Tell us what would motivate you. And just, we might consider doing this retroactively. So don't wait to submit your questions until we have an incentive.
Right.
Because we could be shooting ourselves in the foot right now. Like, we'll get no questions without an incentive.
Right. Yeah. So do what you got to do, people. Help us out. We want to help us help you, help us help you, whatever that means.
That's true.
So on that, I think we're good. I think we nailed it. I'm going to say this was a nailed down, excellently executed show.
We agree.
No mistakes, except that you're yawning on air. That's terrible.
Oh, sorry. Oh, man. My bad. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for listening, dear listener. Be sure to email us any questions you have at questions@getoptionspodcast.com. Use the SpeakPipe functionality of the website if you want to have your voice on the show. Love to have those voices there, too. You can find us online, Twitter primarily, @get_options. Kyle's at Mr. Kyle Maurer. I'm at Hey Adam Silver. We're on SoundCloud. Say goodbye, Kyle.
Oh, yeah. Goodbye, Kyle.
Not so serious options.
And here they are. Hello and welcome to episode. Really? 2 weeks in a row, you messed me up.
It's so easy. It's so easy to do.
I'm doing this over.
No, you are not.
Yes, I am.
You come on.
I'm doing it over. Nope, not happening.
Okay, I'm doing it over.
Okay, do what you got to do. I'll just mute you till I'm done talking.